Roy.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor David, for all this. It is such a great joy for me to be back in Bridgeway Church. It's a privilege that my friend, Pastor David, shares with me as he gives me the mic. Sometimes it's dangerous to give the mic to pastors or preachers, but I'm praying that as I spend this time sharing what the Word of God says and what God has placed in my heart, you will be blessed and you will be challenged in your relationship with Jesus. You know, as you are celebrating the Black History Month, I was thinking about who is my hero in the Black community, and I was thinking about Martin Luther King. When you think about Martin Luther King, there were so many people that admired him, but not so many people went to prison with him. Not so many people had their house bombed because of what he was doing and what he was standing for. And when I think about this person, he had crowds and people that even today admire him, but not so many to follow him till his last breath, standing for the human rights. And I think about Mother Teresa. You know, when she was alive, she was serving the most poor, the most vulnerable people in her community. And in the day of her funeral, there was so many people, famous people, politicians, presidents from all over the world. And you know, I've heard that some of them, they were arguing with each other, which one will sit in the first row to show the people around who was the most close to her. And my question is, do you think that these people, the same people that were arguing in her death, would have been arguing when she was alive? Like, I want to be the first to go there and help her to serve the destitute and the dying. They were only admirers, but not followers. And you know, this morning, I want you to think and define what is your relationship with Jesus. What is the level of your commitment to Jesus? Are you an admirer or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? You know, you can say this morning, Jesus seems to be a good guy. I can give him 2 hours every Sunday. Or I can connect with him now and then as long as he doesn't mess up with your life or with my life. You know, there is a concern today in churches that instead of being a community of followers, sometimes we are stadiums of admirers and fans. Where do you stand and where do you sit this morning? What is your relationship with Jesus? While Jesus lived, he was never impressed with his admirer. And he was never short of the people that admired him. He had crowds that were following him. People inside and outside the church, they admired him. But there is no place in the Bible where Jesus say, "Come and admire me." There is no place in the Bible where Jesus says, "If you want to be my disciple, admire me." No. Jesus was never impressed with the admiration of people around him. Imagine about the Sunday palm. You know, there were crowds 1 week before Jesus went in the cross. Crowds of people that were worshiping, laying their clothes and crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And we know 1 week later, at the foot of the cross, we didn't find the same crowd. You could have counted the people that were there with him when he was screaming out loud, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do." And when screamed, "It is finished." When Jesus started to share his plans with crowds, that he was not going to be the king they thought he was going to be, when he shared with them that, "I'll go to the cross, I'll die." In John 6:60 says, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." They were not followers. They were admirers. What is the change? What is the difference between an admirer and a follower? An admirer is impressed. A follower is devoted. An admirer has only good intentions. A follower has actions. An admirer comes to the church as a consumer. A follower is a contributor. An admirer has arguments. A follower has obedience. An admirer wears a cross. A follower bears his cross. An admirer applauds. A follower surrenders his or her life to Jesus. Where do you stand this morning? Maybe this question makes you be in an uncomfortable place, but it is necessary for us to know and to act in the relationship with Jesus. If you are an admirer, this is the time and this is the day that you step deeper with your relationship with God and become a follower that follows him till the last day of your life. And remember, Jesus was never short of admirers. There was a story in the New Testament about a guy that was an admirer of Jesus, but he wanted to be a follower. He goes to Jesus and he interrupts him. And we will read together in Matthew 19:16-22. And it says, "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good?'" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself." "All this I've kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. When you think about this man in the passage today, the Bible tells us that he was rich and he was powerful. But even though he had power and money, he knew that something was missing for him to have eternal life. He goes to the teacher and he's asking the teacher, "What can I do to have eternal life?" He wanted the privileges, but he didn't want the commitment and the responsibilities. "I want to have eternal life, but I don't want to follow you. I have the money. I have the power. What do you want from me?" that I can get eternal life. He knew that if he could order people with his power and money, and if he could move things into the natural, he knew that he couldn't do this in the spiritual. If he has ordered people to do things for him, he knew that he cannot order God around with his money and power. And he's asking Jesus, what can I add, Jesus? What can I do more? You know, but sometimes it is not about doing more, but doing less. Sometimes it is not about adding more, but giving and having less. And here we see here three lessons that we get from this young rich ruler. The first one that Jesus is asking him to give away is let go of your power and know that we are powerless without Jesus. He's saying, teacher, what good things must I do? It's about I. It's about me. What can I do to inherit eternal life? No, Jesus says, you cannot add more things to your life. There will be more barriers for you to follow me. It's not about I or you or me. It's not about doing things to belong, but it's because you belong, and this is why you are doing what you are doing. This is the difference between a religion and a relationship with Jesus. In a religion structure and environment, you have to do things in order to be favorite of God, in order to win the goodness of God, and in order to inherit eternal life. This is religion. But a relationship with Jesus is because of who you are in Jesus. This is why you are doing what you do. So it starts with identity. It doesn't start with practicing and religion actions. It's our identity in Jesus Christ. Let go of your power. It's not about what you can do. It's about what he has done in the cross of Calvary. Let go of your power. You know, admirers cannot understand this. When problems are happening to us, we try to solve this. We try to call friends, pay money, try to have everything around us to work towards solving our problems. And in the end, we consider God as our last choice, but he has to be our first solution. Life is full of valleys and mountains. When you are in the valley, don't make God your last choice. Go to him first. This is how a follower lives. He considers God. He allows God to be God in all the ways of his or her life. You know, as Pastor David was introducing me, I lost my husband. He was a pastor of Word of Christ Church. And he was killed because of blood feud, because of a crime that his uncle did. The moment he was killed, blood was paid with blood, and 24 men of his family were relieved because blood was recovered and was paid. The moment I was aware that my husband was killed at the age of 34 in the door of the church, what would you say to the Lord? If you are an admirer, you raise your fist and your finger and accuse the Father. If you are a follower, you will trust him even in the valley of death. You know, I was bitter in the first months, and I was asking the Lord, God, I have got all the right to be bitter and to be revengeful. This is my power. I want to have bitterness because this is not just what is happening. And God said to me, yes, you are right. You have got the right to be bitter. You have got the right to be revengeful. You have got the right to stay in the prison of unforgiveness. But are you going to give me the right to be God over your right? This is when you let go of your power and allow God to be God in all the ways of your life. Because a real follower has a radical obedience. An admirer wants to understand God. God, if I don't understand you, what you are doing, if I'm not sure that you will take revenge of what has happened, I'll not let go. I'll not surrender my right because I want to see revenge. Because this is not right. This is not just. And the Lord challenged me and said to me, who told you that it will be just? Who told you that it will be right? We are living in a fallen world. We are living in a world where sin is ruling. But we are called to be instruments of righteousness in the hands of Jesus. And we are called to bring back the justice of God in our communities. But we cannot do that as an admirer. We have to do that as a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let go of your power. Apostle Paul said, I can do everything through my intellectual mind, through my Roman citizenship, through my reputation and my knowledge? No. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength, through Jesus Christ. So let go of your power. The second thing we learn from the young rich ruler, let go of your past. We must realize that whether we have successes or failures in our past, we need to let them go. Let's look together in verse 18. When he asked Jesus, which commandments? The man inquired. Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. And this young man says, all this I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus, I have ticked this box. I've kept this in the past. He's not saying, I'm still doing this, Jesus. I'm loving my neighbor. I'm loving my parents. I am not making adultery. I've done this in the past. What can I do now to have eternal life? So many followers of Jesus, I would say so many Christians, you will be surprised when you ask them, how is your relationship with God? And they will say, great. I was baptized when I was 13. My mom dragged me to church every Sunday. Now, church is not my thing. I don't like reading the Bible, but my relationship with God is great. I love God. And you see them every Christmas or Easter in the church, but their relationship with God is great. Let me say, this is a lie, and it's a way how you are deceiving yourself and putting peace in your conscience. You cannot have a present and a future relationship with God with your past successes or failures. If you have had a great relationship with God in the past, this cannot maintain your present. You know, don't eat bread today because you had last week. Don't feed your body. Don't do anything about your physical body today and tomorrow and the day after tomorrow because you did last year. It is exactly how we think about our spiritual dimension. Oh, I'm okay. I'm good. Last week I was in church. Every Sunday I go to church and I'm good in relationships with God. This is the attitude of an admirer, brothers and sisters, but not a follower of Jesus Christ. A follower of Jesus Christ is not inhabiting in the past. Don't make your past your pastures. Don't feed yourself in your past. Even if they are your successes or your failures, don't feed yourself in your past. You can learn from your past, but you cannot live in your past. If you live in your past, you'll lose what God has in your presence to change your future, not only for you, but for the community around you. Don't live in your past. Paul says in Philippians 3, 13 to 14, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We have not, and we are not yet there, but we are pressing on toward the prize that is found in Christ Jesus. You know, many people, they don't want to let go of their past because they see themselves, they are so nostalgic, and they see that there was their thriving season. They don't let go of their past because they think that God is not powerful enough to forgive what they have done in their past. They don't go of their failures of the past because they cannot let go of their enemies. They cannot forgive. They cannot forget. They cannot let go a person that has hurted them so much. So they want to stay there, knowing that that is the right place to stay. Brothers and sisters, the prison of the past and the prison of unforgiveness, it is the worst prison that a follower of Jesus can be. Is you understand this only when you let go. And only when you come out of that prison, you understand what have you lost for such a long time. When my husband was killed, Mark, the killer of my husband, was 16 when his brother was killed, and he was 21 when he killed my husband. I was bitter. I couldn't forget. I couldn't forgive without the help of God. The legacy my husband left to us was a week before he was killed. He had a coffee with his brother and father, and he asked them that if he's killed because of the blood feud, they'll forgive his blood. And they did, without knowing what was going to happen. And a week later, he was shot and killed. We had to forgive because this was the last word of our dear one. But we all know that forgiveness does not come from the circumstances around you, but it comes from the reality inside of you. And we all know that as followers of Jesus, forgiveness is not our best choice. It is our only choice. We know as followers of Jesus, forgiveness is not a suggestion. It is a command from the Lord. So if you are standing in the past because you want to inhabit in your prison of unforgiveness, this is not the place you are called to be if you want to be a follower of Jesus. You can decide this morning. You can remain an admirer or you can be a follower, but you have to move on and you have to walk through the valley. Even if that is the valley of death, keep walking because Jesus is there. Amen? Jesus is there. He has promised his presence. Even in the deepest valleys, we must release our past. If it is good or bad, we must release that. Also, what we understand from these young men, we need to release our possessions. It is the only way that we understand that our possessions are not possessions in us. So often in our lives, we have things around that we think that we are possessing. But in fact, those things are possessing us. In Luke, in Matthew, when Jesus said to the young man, he said, go and sell everything and come and follow me. Jesus didn't say, this young man, go and sell everything and be lonely. Stay in your house, be miserable, depressed. No, he said, go and sell everything and come and follow me. This was a beautiful exchange that Jesus was offering this young rich ruler. And he lost his chance to sit at the feet of Jesus, not only to admire him, but to follow him till his last breath and to be a witness of how death can be overcome. He lost it. Because in the Word of God, it says that he went away because he had big wealth. Jesus said in Luke, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take your cross, and follow me. Denying ourselves, it has to give everything to the Lord. Give your desires, give your hardest yeses, put them in the table, write them down. What are the hardest yeses? Write them down and let God take care of them. Give him his yes and he will give you his blessings. Let go of your possessions. We cannot be followers of Jesus without putting him in charge of everything that we have, denying ourselves, but not only denying ourselves. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross. It is a dedication. It is a daily dedication. It is not once a week on the Sunday service. It is not once a month or twice a year. It is every day. Take up your cross. Daily direction. But also clear direction. Come and follow me. You can deny yourself. You can take your cross and you follow your plans. It doesn't function like this. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. This is what Jesus is saying to this young man. Give everything away and come and follow me. He didn't. He didn't because he was an admirer. A follower understands that. A follower understands what are the treasures in heaven. And this is the reason as followers of Jesus why we are living. For us to have treasures in heaven and to follow Jesus till the last breath of our life. His possessions actually possessed him. He was not in control of them. They were in control of him because he went away. Apostle Paul said, whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. Whatever was gained to me, now I consider loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. So what are the three things that we have to leave? We have to leave your power, we have to leave our possessions, and we have to leave our past. I don't know where you stand today and which are the things that you need to surrender and to give to God in order for you to become a follower. But this is a challenge this morning. You know, I was challenged in the most difficult way when I lost my husband. When Pastor David was speaking about blood feud, This is something happening in the north of Albania. And it is 500 years old phenomenon. And this is based in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you kill me, every man of your family has to be present in the house because I will take revenge. And in 90% of the cases, they never kill the first murderer. They want him to be alive. They choose the youngest and the best of the family to cause the deepest pain. And these are Christians. The people that are applying this law are Christians. I wonder if they are admirers and not followers. These are people that they will make a cross and they will say, Jesus, help me to take this revenge. And if I kill on Christmas Day or Easter Day, this means that God has blessed me. Christian. Admirer. For us, there is a challenge this morning. Step on in the level of your commitment and don't be an admirer, but a follower of Jesus. In that challenge, in the valley of death, I was challenged in the most painful way. I was challenged to continue and love God and trust the goodness of my Father. I was challenged to obey the Father even when I didn't understand what He was doing. I was challenged that in the valley of death, I trust this God, amazing Father. It is easy to follow Jesus in the top of the mountains. It was easy for the crowds to follow Jesus when He made the miracles, when He fed the 5,000, when He healed people. It was easy. But it was not easy to follow Jesus in the valley of death when He was screaming out and praying to the Father. It's easy to follow Jesus in the great experiences of your life. But the challenge is, are you following Jesus in the hardest, the darkest, and the most painful times of your life? There is the test if you are an admirer or a follower. I was challenged, and because of grace of God, we not only survived, but we overcame. With the grace of God, we have known the power of the person of Jesus, even in the valley of death. And this is why I am here today. I would have never been here if I was an admirer. It is the grace of God in our lives that takes us, even in the valley of death, to step on. Not being just admirer, but followers of Jesus. You know, in our story, when we forgave Mark and forgave the killer, we were just surrendering and obeying the Father that we should forgive, that we are forgiven to forgive, and we are called to radically obedient to the Lord and obey God. We did that with the grace of God. And today, if you will ask me, what have you understood? If you will ask me why God allowed that a servant of his own son to be killed, in the most terrible way, tragically living in the middle of the street, my son and daughter. If you'll ask me today why, I would say the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Is we are following the step of our teacher. And the disciple cannot be better than the teacher. And if this was the path of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are following his steps. But Paul says that we are not desperate as the world is without hope, because one day we will be in eternal life face to face with our Savior and with everyone that we gained in heaven. Amen? In the valley of death, I learned how to live. In the valley of death, I met my Father like never before. In the valley of death, and death taught me life. And this means having the only reason, Jesus Christ. Today, in the marble stone of my husband's grave is written, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If I was part of my own funeral, and I would hear people speak about me, the only thing I want to hear is that she was a passionate follower of Jesus. If you'd have been part of your own funeral, what do you want to be remembered? What do you want people around you to speak about you? How do you want to be called? An admirer or a follower? This is the day to decide. Be a follower of Jesus. This is the best reason to live your life. God bless you.
Wow. My goodness.